Welcome to Alaska Edition, a weekly public affairs program produced by Alaska Public Media in the studios of KAKM.
Hello and welcome to Alaska Edition. I'm your host, Zachariah Hughes, and today we're talking about heroin in Alaska. State and federal officials, as well as community groups spread across the state, have expressed alarm at the rising rate. Juneau in particular has been the subject of a lot of attention lately for a spate of heroin and opiate-related overdoses. And we're joined by over Skype by reporter Elizabeth Jenkins from the studios of KTOO in Juneau. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Thanks, Zach.
Here in our studios, we've got Terry Davis, behavioral health clinician, joining us all the way from her office in Bethel to discuss aspects of addiction and treatment off the road system. And also here is Sergeant Luis Soto, part of the Vice Unit at the Anchorage Police Department. And Sergeant, I want to start with you. What are we talking about when we talk about heroin and opiates? Can you help break down some of the distinctions and some of the overlap?
Well, the heroin in Anchorage is obviously has been an issue for several years, and is affecting not just basically the users, the people that are exposed to it, but also the economy, problems within the cities. And I give an example of a user of heroin because the feel before they get sick, they need to have another dose, if you will, so they get desperate and not having money to get that next, what we call fix. They tend to go and start stealing and basically going to the retail stores and stealing merchandise, which is obviously impacts the economy of Anchorage as well.
And from a police perspective, do you guys see, are these, is heroin distinct from prescription pain or opioid abuse, or are these really just kind of a blend of the same problem?
It does blend at times. I have the opportunity to interview some of these folks, users, heroin users, and yet very seldom I find someone that actually decided to get up one morning and use the heroin. Normally, for the most part, there's a sort of a sprint board, if you will, before they get to that step, that level using heroin, which is painkillers for most of the time.
And Terry, in your region, in the YK and in Bethel, how big of a problem is this there?
It's gotten pretty big in the last couple of years. We have also been seeing a lot of the theft and crimes that we used to have a lot of alcohol-related crimes, and then now it's the theft, people trying to get money to support their addiction. It's become such a problem that the city council has started a council just to address the heroin issues. So it's gotten very, very big in the past. I would say 2 to 3 years really is where the heroin issues started.
2 to 3 years. And is that across the region or really localized in Bethel?
Pretty localized in Bethel. We're seeing it start to get into some of the villages, which is very scary because they're so small and remote with limited access to treatment. But mostly just in Bethel right now, a handful of the villages.
I want to come back to that, but before I do, Elizabeth, in Juneau, there's been a lot of reports lately about that I've seen in the press about really high rates of use and abuse there, in particular spate of overdoses lately. And I just want to pull up a quote right here from a report in the ADN by Michelle Terry-Boots. It says, for a city of 32,000, the one after the another overdose deaths from heroin have been jarring and heartbreaking. Think of it as the equivalent of 60 in Anchorage. Elizabeth, do those numbers really get at the scale of the problem that people are coping with in Juneau?
Well, Zach, there's been about 7 heroin-related deaths this year. One of those other drugs was involved, but when the community really started having a dialogue about it was this summer. There was a cluster of deaths, and people are hurting. There's 2 grassroots initiatives to kind of create community dialogue about this. There's one called Stop Heroin, Start Talking, another which is called the Community of Compassion. And I was able to attend one of the Community of Compassion events a few weeks ago. There were over 60 people there, and they were there just to talk about what's happening in our community to their friends, their family members, and their neighbors. Just this past weekend, there were 5 overdoses. Keep in mind, these aren't deaths I'm speaking about, they're overdoses. And that was, some of those were attributed to this type of heroin called China White. It's not something we typically see in Juneau. It's a powder form, and it said it was laced with fentanyl. So it's definitely a conversation the community is having, and people are alarmed.
And I remember in Michelle's reporting in the Dispatch, there was a lot of talk about how some of the clusters were around a particular class from 2008, if I'm remembering correctly, at a high school there, and that a lot of it was friends that were kind of exchanging, and it also come up through use of prescription painkillers together. And I'm wondering if there's any talk in Juneau about this being, whether it's an isolated instance among a peer group or whether there's kind of outside factors that are contributing it. But how are the clusters explained from what you're hearing?
Absolutely. So one of the women, Michelle Stu Morgan, who is the organizer of the Stop Heroin Start Talking, she told me this story last week about her son who had had his wisdom teeth pulled. And his son who was in high school was scared to tell his friends because he was afraid they would come and take the opiates he was taking for the pain management. And that happened, I think, back in around 2010. And so if you look at the statistics of seizures, you can kind of see a pattern where before we were seeing things like OxyContin, prescription pain opiates, and now we're seeing a lot of seizures of heroin. So you could definitely make the connection that those people who started with Oxy are now transitioning to heroin because it's cheaper and it's easier to find.
I had to just catch myself. You said seizures, and at first I was thinking kind of health-related convulsions, but I think drug
no,
seizures.
No,
is the,
okay. Drug seizures, yeah.
And Sergeant Soto, can you tell us a little bit about seizures that APD has done, but also about some of the secondary crime that you guys end up seeing as a result, whether that's in retail or burglaries, but some of the tertiary effects of criminality when people are coping with addiction that the public might not always see the big picture on?
Yes, obviously, like I mentioned earlier, you know, thefts, burglaries, we have these folks that are using or they're addicted to this, that get to a point that they become desperate, and for them, they rather just break into someone's house and steal property, taking the risk that be people in the house or not, and take the property and go to their drug dealer and sell a property not necessarily for money, but basically for the drug itself. Not just also burglaries, but you know, we have to take in account also health issues, overdoses. We have overdose. I'm very alarmed just to hear that, you know, Juneau had seven, or I believe death in Anchorage this year. We have so far 15. So that's just, you know, it's alarming to have, you know, Juneau to have just half of that when we have probably three times the number of citizens and, you know, or people in the city. So.
And I had heard that a lot of organized retail crime, small groups of people that are kind of coordinating shoplifting efforts at major department stores and stuff like that, that often those are related to drug crime or coming out of drug crime. And I'm curious if the department coordinates at all with retailers or with kind of security staff around town to keep tabs and kind of get a read on the overall situation.
Yes, we are. We're partnering up with retail stores in town, and I can't speak of, you know, some current investigations that we have going on, but yes, we are getting the reports. We are aware of this rings, if you will, of criminals that actually get coordinated, become coordinated, and start going into this new retail stores and stealing and trading that merchandise for drugs. Mm.
And Terry, you mentioned 2 to 3 years you guys have started seeing it in Bethel. I'm curious what kind of brought opiate addiction there.
So the same thing that you guys are mentioning, the prescription pain pills, that's where most of my clients have started, I'd say a large majority. And that happened about 10 years ago is where the prescription pain pills really boosted in Bethel. And she was just getting on to reasons why people changed from OxyContin to heroin, and we saw a lot when they changed the form of OxyContin where you couldn't abuse it as easily, changed from the powder form to a gel form. So that's where a lot of my clients at least moved into heroin. So 5 years ago or so, a lot of people started using heroin instead of the pills, and then 2 to 3 years ago is where we started actually acknowledging it and thinking about it and not being in denial about the huge problem anymore.
And correct my thinking on this, but it was partly because manufacturers were distributing synthetic opioids in a way that could be a little bit more easily abused rather mm-hmm. than gels or time-released capsules. And was that federal action that asked for manufacturers to really change up and limit some mm-hmm. of those formulas?
Yep, it went from a pill form, which can be crushed and snorted and injected, and it went into a gel, a sticky, what addicts will call boogery-like, so that it can't be snorted, and it's much more difficult. They say it takes about an hour to get it down to a form that they can actually abuse, and it's not worth it.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to pull up another quote, and this one is a question for anyone, because it seems like there's a growing consensus that the market for heroin in Alaska nationally was primed by overprescription for pain pills. And like you said, Terry, that was about a decade ago. And what we have here from one of the chief's medical officers in the state is that the resurgence of the drug is due to a few factors. Heroin is both more available and cheaper than it was in the past, combined with a tandem epidemic of prescription painkiller addiction. It's a perfect storm. Do either one of you have an opinion or have information on what's going on with heroin production and distribution outside of Alaska and internationally that's making it both more pure and somewhat cheaper than it's ever been in recent years?
Well, I can tell you from the police standpoint, it's becoming more accessible. It's if we go back to gasoline and prices, you know, and we have a production, you know, over demand. And for heroin, it's becoming more accessible. They're shipping it up to Alaska through the post office, through federal, and it's becoming easier to get up here. With heroin, because there's so much coming up here, so the prices are dropping, versus if it was gasoline, the more demand, the prices go up. The dealers or the traffickers, they want to get rid of this, so they drop the prices and they push that out, you know, to their clients, if you will. I give you an example, 2008, 2006, when I worked undercover and I will actually go out physically and buy heroin for a gram of heroin, I'm paid $400.
For a gram?
For a gram of heroin. Now these days, I'm paying $170. So it's more accessible, easier, and cheaper to get.
Which, I mean, correct my thinking if this is wrong, that is still astronomically higher than in a major American city like San Francisco or LA or New York for some of those prices. Is that accurate?
Yes. And obviously Alaska is more isolated, so that has an effect as well on the prices.
Well, and I want to ask you, Elizabeth and Juno, you guys are on an island. How does heroin get to your island?
A number of ways. Some of it has been traced to commercial airliners that come up from Seattle. And just to make a point that sort of touches on what we were talking about, it's been said that for a dose of heroin, it's worth five times more in Juneau than down south. So you have these huge incentives to smuggle the drug here. And like I said, commercial airliners, the ferry system, and the police are trying to combat this here in a number of ways. They're, you know, regularly patrolling the airport, and they're also, they've got a new police drug dog who can actually sniff heroin. So they're using him to sort of go on the ferry liners and try to find these drugs before they get into people's hands.
And Terry, how does it get to Bethel? Not an island, but mm-hmm. certainly remote, somewhat more so, I would say, than Juneau, but some of the upriver communities in Bethel, how does it get there?
A lot of the similar ways, we have people on bringing it on their person through Alaska Airlines or, you know, the other commercial airlines. We have a lot of smaller airlines that don't have TSA regulations, so no security. You just walk on the plane. So there's that. We have barges, pretty much a lot of the same ways that Juneau's getting it. But when there's a demand like there is in Bethel, they will find their ways.
And the Troopers Want efforts out there, Western Alaska Alcohol and Narcotics Team.
Mm-hmm.
Have those paid off? Are those kind of robust interdiction methods?
They're working very, very hard. I'm of the opinion that the law enforcement can work as hard as they possibly can and have as many people, but that doesn't take away the demand. And the demand will be there until we treat the addicts one by one and have more accessible treatment and more available, and then the supply will slowly diminish if we take care of the addicts.
And I want to come back to treatment in just a bit, mm-hmm. but before we do, this is a question to all three of you coming from very different parts of the state, but is it fair or accurate to talk about this as a rural or urban issue, or is it just more complex and it's really just a state issue?
I believe, in my opinion, it's a state you know, statewide issue. Obviously, it's going to be the results or quantified. This would be more, and as far as population, if Anchorage, you know, is bigger than Juneau, obviously you're going to see probably more in an urban environment. I was reading one of the troopers' ASD reports on drugs and statewide in 2014, and the report was based for 2012. And while they report that it's a statewide problem, they see that urban still, you know, the biggest issue.
Anyone else on the rural versus urban aspect?
I think it's both. I worked at KFSK in Petersburg last summer, and there was a sizable heroin bust there. And then, you know, of course, living in Juneau, you see it here. So it seems like it's definitely happening in the urban areas, but it's also trickling down to these more rural parts of the state.
Sergeant Soto, is law enforcement seeing more come up, or is it that the purity is creating more, I want to say, you know, health emergencies, more overdoses and stuff like that? Like, are you guys seeing more through confiscations or tertiary crime? Is there more of the drug in the state, or is there just a more robust user base that's using it?
Well, it's heroin. If we would have to have more time to explain how heroin is made, but it's obviously not through a pharmaceutical company. It's made at, you know, someone's backyard and sent up here. So it's very impure, you know, and sometimes, you know, these loads, if you want to call them that way, are dangerous. You know, the consumer or the drug user, they don't know what they're going to put on their bodies. And sometimes, like we've seen it before, doesn't matter the background, young people, older people, but more so young people, when they put this, not knowing or being a frequent user, and not knowing what they're going to put in their body, sometimes that creates an effect and it hurts. Hurts them. So.
Yeah, that reminds me of what Elizabeth mentioned about phenytoin and the China White. Generally, when heroin comes up here, the stuff that you guys are seeing in interdiction, is it, what's the purity like? Is it really, really kind of concentrated? Has it been cut multiple times as it's moved from point to point?
It's the purity, I guess the purity stage, the highest one is when it leaves the person who makes it. Mm-hmm. As it's coming to Alaska and arrives here, that trafficker or that seller is gonna, what we call, step on it and basically mix it with other things to make more of it, so that money, so his money can, you know, basically he can make more money with less amount or less purity. So they start stepping on it, what we call mixing it with other ingredients and so forth. And that's where not only coming from the manufacturer or the person who makes it already altered, but when they start mixing all the things into it here to make it last, that's when we start seeing some of these dangerous overdoses.
Switching topics just a bit, Terry, I want to ask you about treatment and what are treatment options like in the YK region?
Not enough. So we do have a residential treatment center in Bethel. The beds are limited, and it's also just a medium intensity residential treatment, which is usually not quite as much as people who are using heroin to the extent that they are in Bethel need. So to get the treatment that they need to fit their needs is going to Anchorage or downstates. A lot don't have the resources or insurance that you would need to do that. So we're kind of at a struggle with that part of it.
And Elizabeth, in Juneau, what are treatment options like and across Southeast?
So there are no heroin detox treatment options in Juneau. And it's the same way here. When people want to get those detox options, they're either going down south or they're going up to Anchorage. And also to point out, there's nothing like a methadone clinic here in Juneau either. This is something you also see down south, which helps people who are addicted function in their day-to-day. There's nothing like that either.
Any of the new treatments like Vivitrol, any options like that in Juneau?
No, not that I know of. I think there's one private practice who maybe prescribes Vivitrol, but that's all I've heard of. Mm.
And
you need a special license for medical doctors to be able to prescribe for withdrawals or medication-assisted treatment, and we just don't have enough in the state to cover all of our areas.
I want to pose a question to all three of you, and I've got a quote here from Elise Putkatuk, who, writing in the ADN, wrote that You know, she said, now that heroin is resurgent here in Alaska, everyone is sitting up and taking notice of just how terrible it can be. Heroin is an equal opportunity drug. It strikes the poor, the middle class, and the rich with equal ferocity. And I'm curious if that's what you all are seeing and why opiates buck the demographic trends that we see with other drugs and cut so broadly a swath across different socioeconomic barriers.
I've seen it, you know, out on the field when we go out. I have an opportunity to see it. There's no discrimination of gender. It's either male or female. Age is the same thing, equally background. So I've seen people, wealthy people using it. I've seen young kids just literally coming out of high school and still in high school have actually been introduced. Either I have a young lady who was just 17 years old, and we happened to come across her on a drug investigation. She was arrested, and when I interviewed her, to give you an example, told me that her boyfriend at the time introduced her to that. So we've seen young age, you know, my experience, 17 years old to folks all the way as far as mid-60s using heroin.
Mm. And Terry, is that the same for you?
I would totally agree. My client base is everywhere in between, just like that, and I think it speaks to the power of this drug and how strong the addiction is that it doesn't discriminate. And a lot of people are starting to use and maintaining families and jobs and homes until the addiction becomes too much and all their resources go to it. So it kind of starts out and no one really knows, and it's, you know, very high functioning people, but that only lasts for so long.
And Elizabeth, anything to add?
Yeah, I just want to echo that, you know, it's extremely addictive drug. Opioids are really hard to kick. Another story I worked on last year, I spoke to a woman who got addicted to OxyContin in college, and then that addiction kind of spiraled into her adulthood. She was actually a nurse. And so it's really, really tough for people to get treatment, but also to get better. But it's not impossible.
Mm-hmm. And one thing to add is just heroin, if compared to other drugs like methamphetamines or cocaine, I've interviewed hundreds of people, users, and I've interviewed heroin users versus a cocaine user. A cocaine user will tell me they can drop and stop using it right away if they want to as a choice. Heroin, they can't get off of it. Mm-hmm. They have to actually go to a treatment facility and be isolated from their friends, from that drug, obviously in specific, and get some intense treatment to be able to actually come off of it. It's very hard.
I want to ask you, Sergeant, are there policies and procedures that could be changed that would make the police work that you do easier or more effective? Do you see any solutions?
You know, the state laws are very, we have very good laws in the state of Alaska, and they're very specific, you know, and, you know, different levels of prosecution, if you will, for the one that possessed the heroin or the user, the dealer, and traffickers as well. So we have those tools in place. I think it's very important to encourage, you know, the other partners like the health department and others to continue and bring in more treatment facilities, because I agree with her that if you don't have the consumer, then the product is gone. It's like drinking a soda. You know, if people start drinking sodas, you know, there's no reason to sell them. It's, you have to start there at the treatment facilities and get these consumers, in this case heroin users, to stop using it.
And Terry, I want to ask you, as we're wrapping up and collapsing our time, but what misperceptions do you see in your work, both about you know, heroin in particular, but addiction and substance abuse in general? And then I'm curious how heroin compares in the work you do to something like alcohol, which I think many would say is much more widespread across Alaska, mm-hmm. if not quite as concentratedly terrible mm-hmm. as heroin.
I think this goes with what you were just saying, is the withdrawals are what's the difference between the other drugs. Is people are scared of what that feels like. It feels, I mean, I've heard it explained, bone splitting pain from the inside out, and just they would rather die than feel that week-long sickness. So that's what keeps them from being able to quit on their own or without medication assisted or treatment assistance. So it keeps them going. Every time they begin to feel sick, they've got to get the next dose or get into somewhere where they can detox with assistance. So it's really
almost
powerful.
Like a misunderstanding that
Of
how, I mean, we can quit smoking and go cold turkey and it's annoying and inconvenient, but
I get that from family members. Why can't they just stop? They're ruining our lives. Just stop. And it's not that easy. They have to understand there's no cure. It's a lifelong recovery commitment, and it takes a lot of steps day by day.
And just in the last couple of seconds that we have, how does it compare to alcohol in the region in terms of a problem and some of the factors that contribute to, an appetite for abuse? And this goes back to you, Sergeant, too, if you have theories about Anchorage or Elizabeth, you and Juneau, about, where does this fit with our state's kind of overall pathology?
I think it's much more addictive than alcohol. I've never heard anyone say, I drank one sip and then I was done. I've been addicted ever since. But with heroin, you hear that a lot, that it just took one time. So I think the power of it is different.
Last question to you, Liz, quick.
Senate Bill 23, look it up. It can save lives. Administering Narcan to people. So that's coming down the pipeline in the legislative session.
All right. Thanks a lot. And thank you for joining us at home. That's all the time we have here on Alaska Edition. Thank you to my guests, and thank you for tuning in. In Anchorage, I'm Zachariah Hughes.
If you have questions or comments about the program, you can email Alaska Edition at alaskapublic.org. Or write us at 3877 University Drive, Anchorage, Alaska, 99508. Alaska Edition is a production of KAKM. The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily represent those of KSKA, KAKM, the licensee, or their underwriters.